Andrew Buchholz joins us. Andrew, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Hey, no problem. Lots and lots to want to get in and discuss today, for me anyway. And let's start, I guess, with Harris and Ottawa and just how dynamic that offense has looked. Is anybody in Toronto's secondary going to be able to even contain Chris Williams?
Yeah, that's certainly the question. Chris Williams has been so good this year. He's been one of the league-picked free stars in every one of the free weeks so far, and he's just racking up the touchdowns. And the problem with defending Ottawa is it's not just Chris Williams. They had four guys who had 1,000 yards last year, with him, with Brad Sinopoli, with Ernest Jackson, with Greg Ellingson. They've got an incredible number of good receivers, and they're very hard to stop. And Trevor Harris has been nothing short of phenomenal, as you mentioned, coming in for Henry Burris partway through that first game. So he's played less games than a lot of guys because he only played about half of that first one, and yet he's leading the league with over 1,000 passing yards, 1,083, and he's completing 80% of his passes. So he really is on fire, and it's going to be very difficult to shut him down.
Yeah, Andrew, I wanted to talk about Trevor Harris. Mm-hmm. What I'd seen of him before he came in for Burris, he seemed like an impressive guy who could do some things, but nobody saw this coming. Now, is this a shot of adrenaline? Is this a short, mm-hmm. hot stretch? Because, you know, if he keeps playing like this, he gives his team some interesting problems about what happens at the quarterback situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is reason to think that this is not just a fluke. A big part of it is how well Trevor Harris did last year in Toronto while he was filling in for Ricky Ray. You know, how good Henry Burris was last year, he dominated most of the CFL passing stats, but one that Trevor Harris actually finished ahead of him in was completion percentage. Trevor Harris has been so incredibly efficient, and that's really been a key way to measure CFL quarterbacks, because completing passes is so vital in this league where you only have three downs. I think the question, though, is it'll be really interesting to watch and see how things progress as Henry Burris gets closer to coming back.
Right.
Because we saw a little of that in Toronto last year when Ricky Ray started to come back, when there started to be some discussions about, well, should they throw him in again instead of Harris? I think that sort of helped Harris's play trail off a little bit. And he wasn't quite as effective down the stretch as he was earlier in the season. And we eventually did see him pulled for Ricky Ray. And then we saw Toronto prioritize Ricky Ray ahead of him in the offseason. So I think Harris has learned from that. I think he's grown, and I think he's going to stay hot. But we'll see, and it certainly will provide Ottawa for a fascinating decision when Henry Burris comes back, because all of a sudden, now you're choosing between the current CFL's passing leader and the guy who was the most outstanding player last year.
What do you make of the Argos and BMO Field? The first one was a great success. They trotted out a lot of the former greats of the Argos, and it seemed like the fans mm-hmm. really enjoyed it. Do you think it's going to have a lasting effect there? Are fans going to fall in love with the Argos playing at BMO?
I think it's certainly going to have a lasting effect. I think the thing that's important to keep in mind is that it's not going to be an instant fix. The Toronto Argonauts are not going to go from almost completely off the radar to the darlings of the town in just a couple of games. I think this is certainly it's certainly a positive step for them, and I think they've handled just about everything with it right so far. It's great to see that the team is actually investing some money in marketing. They were even running TV commercials earlier this offseason. They're doing some unconventional stuff, such as reaching out to neighborhood people by pouring drinks at a local bar, doing stuff on the CN Tower, and so on. And I think they are making some waves. And one thing that's really clever that they're doing tonight is they've teamed up with You Can Play for an official You Can Play night, which I think is going to get a lot of buzz and bring in a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily think of the CFL as a top option. So I think they're doing all the right things, and I think it's going to slowly grow. But you're not going to see them become an economic powerhouse of the CFL overnight. I think it is going to take a little time.
Andrew, just back to Harris for a second. He's certainly going to be mm-hmm. motivated facing the Argos. I'm curious, can he give his offense and defensive group, any insights on the Argos based on what they still run just from familiarity, or is that sort of overstated and that the big thing is going to be motivation for him?
Well, I think there absolutely is some of that, but the interesting thing is that it works both ways. Obviously, Trevor Harris knows a lot of what the Toronto Argonauts have run and what Scott Milanovic has run in particular. And yeah, there's some changes year to year, but a lot of what Toronto's doing is what they have done before. So he'll be able to give the Red Blacks defense some tips on that, I would imagine. The converse is that the Toronto team really knows Trevor Harris from practicing with him, from playing against him, and they may be able to figure out, even if they're not entirely familiar with the Ottawa playbook, they may be able to figure out some of his tells and the way he likes to look on certain plays and what that means. So I think it does go both ways. And the interesting thing with it, too, is it becomes a bit of a Vizzini and the Princess Bride game where, oh, well, I know that you think that I know this. And so sometimes you overthink it a little bit and you try and change and get too deceptive about what you're doing, and then it doesn't work out in the long run anyway. So I think it's definitely a layer that's worth talking about. I'm not sure it definitely gives an advantage to one side or the other, though. It's just another element in the chess match.
Andrew Buchholz joins us from the 55-yard line talking CFL. Andrew, what do you make of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a team that really, you know, outside of some great fourth-quarter comebacks to even make games close, have not looked very good so far this season? Do you see signs that this team has potential, or is there a lot more problems that basically the first 45 minutes of every game suggest?
Yeah, there still are definitely some problems in Winnipeg, and I think their first two games in particular were worse than the final scores indicated, thanks to, as you mentioned, those fourth-quarter comebacks. They really were completely outplayed for a large majority of those games and then brought it back a little in garbage time. I think there's some hope for them, especially given they played a lot better this past week and did do enough to get that win on the road in Hamilton, which is never easy. And I think there was some good progress there, but this definitely isn't a team that has everything fixed. They still have a bunch of issues to address. I think they still have some defensive worries to worry about. They have to get that offense more consistently clicking. They have to establish a run game with Andrew Harris a bit more. I think it's a step in the right direction, but they're still definitely not a powerhouse team.
Andrew, on the other side of that equation, when you look at the Eskimos, I mean, they've been in a couple of nail biters. Fans love those things. Coaches hate them. But what do you make of that Eskimo defense? We know the pieces that they've lost, but man, that's a porous outfit right now.
Well, absolutely. And the funny thing is that the Edmonton Eskimos are really the absolute flip or the absolute reverse of what they were last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, they were a great defensive team with a decent offense. This year, they're a great offensive team. They're leading the league in a lot of offensive categories, and their defense can't stop anyone. And I think the biggest issue really so far, it hasn't been about the scheme. I think there is a little adapting to a new defensive coordinator in Mike Benavides and a little figuring out the scheme, but I really think it's the personnel. The secondary has just seen so much turnover, and I think the really key one for them is that injury to John Ojo before the season started, a guy they were really depending on to be a leader in their secondary. He was one of the best defensive backs in the league last year, and now he's gone for the whole year. Losing Aaron Grimes to the NFL was a big blow for them. So I really think that secondary has not figured it out yet. There's reason to think they may be able to as the year goes along. They're relying on a lot of young guys, a lot of untested guys, and maybe as those guys get more used to the league and get more used to what they're asked to do in this scheme, things will get a little better. But so far, that Edmonton secondary has been a real problem, and that's a big part of why they're giving up so many points.
Well, the other thing is their front four really isn't getting the pressure that should be expected coming from that four. And were you surprised about the trade between Edmonton giving up an interior D lineman to Saskatchewan for an eighth rounder?
Yeah, that was a little curious. I didn't see that coming, but I do think that you have to give Ed Hervey a little bit of trust here. given the success he's had building this roster over the last couple of years. And the thing that keep in mind with the CFL, too, is that the people on the inside do tend to have a much better idea of what they have in the off-the-radar guys, what they have in the guys that they found through tryout camps and through off-season signings and so on. And if they think they have capable enough replacements there, that's probably why they made that trade. We'll see if they're proven to be right or not. But I think that's the thinking that goes into it, is we've got somebody here nobody else knows about yet who can make a better impact.
Well, I look at they've got some guys for sure, but really it's the returning mm-hmm. guys that you've got Willis and you've got Howard and you've got Sioux, and those guys themselves should be getting more consistent pressure than they have. Now, I know Ottawa threw the ball quickly, so it's kind of hard to get any sort of sustained pressure. But I just, when I look at it, I watch the Saskatchewan game, I'm a little bit surprised that this D-line, which was the strength of their defense, if they're getting more pressure, then it's going to relieve the focus on the defensive secondary, which we all know isn't as good as last year. And if you ask those guys to cover longer, that's when mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you hit on a few of the key reasons why they're not getting that so far. Part of that is Ottawa's offense is really designed to try and get the ball out quickly. And so that's certainly part of the issue. I think another part of the issue with why we're not seeing so much production from the front four is the change in defensive scheme. Chris Jones' defensive scheme featured a lot of blitzes and a lot of unconventional blitzes, and even when those didn't happen, the offensive linemen had to be very aware of them and very aware of the potential for various linebackers and defensive backs to be coming. I think with what we've seen from Edmonton so far, it's been more of sort of a straight-up defensive scheme where they're asking their defensive linemen to just win those battles without the help from the blitzers, and so far that hasn't really been working. Mike Benavides is certainly capable of drawing up plenty of blitzes himself too, and he may elect to go that way a little more as the year goes on and as guys get more comfortable in his defense. But I think so far they're relying on their front four alone too much, and they could maybe get a little more help with some blitzing out of the linebackers in the secondary. It definitely doesn't help that you've got so many inexperienced guys in that secondary though.
Andrew, always good to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you later on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.